You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning. Well, welcome if you're joining us online via Facebook Live or podcast, or if you're in studio with us. Look at this, folks. I'm too short. I need this because it's all right, man. You guys can't be expected to accommodate short people like me. You know, it's fine. I'll work around it. So I get the privilege of introducing our new sermon series, Dream. It's all about how our God is a God who isn't a God of boxes. He's a boundless God who inspires us to imagine a different world, to dream about our community, our city, and ourselves, and to think differently about those things. This is what we're going to be talking about today. We label ourselves. We put labels on ourselves. We set our identity, and God says, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. And so God is encouraging us to dream, to think outside the box. And I think the inspiration for this was when I was thinking about the Virgin Mary. You know, she's a normal 16-year-old girl when an angel shows up, you know, normal average day, and is like, hey, you haven't been sleeping around with anybody, but you're going to, like, give birth to God's son here in about 9 months. So yeah, hope you're chill with that. Hope you're good with that. See you later. And Mary kind of just goes, all right, like, anything is possible with God. And I hope that I can get to a place where I believe that about God, because I feel like I still got God in a box. I feel like I still say, well, God can do this, but I don't know about, you know, speaking in tongues. I don't know about that. I don't know if God can do that. And I'm not a person who's going to say God does all this or God does all that. But I'm not. I want to be a person who says with God anything is possible. And so in today we're going to be talking about ourselves. How does God see us? How does God want us to reimagine ourselves? And I think the people who are the freest to dream are kids, right? You come into the world, you're conceived, and nobody, you're unnamed, you're unlabeled. And you come into the world as a kid, and someone will ask you, they'll say, what do you want to be? And you can say you want to be a superhero, or you can say you want to be a hippo. And people will be like, that's great, go for it. And nobody else says that to anybody else except for kids. Kids can be anything. They can do anything. I remember when I was a kid, my brother and I used to imagine that we were an entire football team and that we had an entire invisible other football team. And we would play out whole seasons in the backyard. And I did all kinds of things. I was a war hero. I was a doctor. I was all kinds of things when I was a kid. But slowly, as I grew up, I was labeled. And so my imagination and my roles and the things that I could be shrank because I became labeled and I said, okay, I'm this person. And that really came to a head in middle school. I mean, I don't know how middle school was for you, but middle school, not feeling it, man. Wouldn't want to go back there. Not a good place. Because my friend group, one day we kind of woke up and you're either cool or you're not. And I was definitely in the not part. I was a scrawny little geeky goody two shoes, Bible loving kid. And that didn't really vibe with a lot of my friends. And so I became the butt of the joke, the naive one. I remember them saying stuff like, you're so lame, your house is so lame, that kind of stuff. And so I kind of began to reinforce in my head that I'm the odd man out. I'm the weirdo. I'm the dorky guy. And that became my identity much through high school. And I would have never looked in the mirror and said, odd man out, weirdo right here, until someone labeled me that. And I'm sure you understand that. So I come into college and I think I can reinvent myself. I can become, you know, hip, not cool, but hip, you know, a little bit better, a little bit less than the odd man out. And so I thought, that's possible. And I go into college and things are going well, but I really didn't expect how much fashion played into being hip. I didn't get that. I go to Goodwill, I go to Kohl's, I look at the clearance rack, it fits, it's in a shade of gray, I buy it. You know, that's how fashion works for me, and I didn't know it took more than that. So I'm sitting in the cafeteria, you know, eating my grub, eating my food, and somebody walks up to me and kind of goes, "What are those dad shoes that you have on?" And I kind of went, "What? What are you talking about? I don't have any kids, you know?" And they look down, and these are the shoes that I had on. These are my running shoes. They're Air Monarchs, Nike Air Monarchs, very hip. You can buy them. Amazon, I'm sure, has them. Your local Goodwill, your father. In fact, Jerry Kratzer, I noticed the other day, he had them on, so I don't know if they're grandpa's shoes now. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's always encouraging to wake up, and we have the same cargo shorts on too. It's always great to wake up and realize that you're dressing like a 70-year-old man. Great stuff. You're 20. Great. I'm ahead of the game is what I'm saying. That's how I'm framing that. So I thought nothing of it. It's just a comment. And then it became my nickname. So now I have a Twitter that someone made for me. It's Ash Dad. You can look it up on Twitter. That's not me. That's not me. Someone else made that. So don't take that for seriousness. And so people about 150 people at Mount Vernon would call me Ash Dad, which is just great. Because when you're around a bunch of college kids, there's nothing you want more to be identified with their parents. That's what you really want. You want to be like 30 or 40 years older than them in their mind. That's perfect. And so even though I thought I can reinvent myself, I can remove myself from this label that I've had, I became the odd man out again. I became Mr. Irrelevant again. And I've kind of accepted it. I have a dad mug that someone gave me. Very proud of it. I drink coffee out of it. Someone just gave me a shirt that said, "Dad is rad." I'm stoked. I'm stoked. I'm ready to come back on the scene, man. Next 2 weeks from now, every day, "Dad is rad." Ready to go. But it's so funny to me that our labels not only change how we think about ourselves, they also determine who we become. You know, I would have never looked in the mirror and thought, "Dad." Never would have thought that until someone told me that I was a dad. And I think that's how it is for probably a lot of you. You probably understand what I'm saying. Because somebody, you were a child, you were loving life, you could be anything, and then someone said to you, "You're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid." Or maybe you identified yourself differently, maybe positively. Maybe it was like, "Oh, I'm the trans girl," or "I'm lesbian or gay." Or maybe they put that on you and they called you maybe a faggot and forgive my language. But maybe that was what they called you, and that became a label for you. Maybe it was racial. Maybe it was a racial slur. Maybe it was just the token black guy, or the token Asian girl, or the token girl in the group. And that's what you became. Maybe it was a positive thing. You know, our labels can be a positive thing. Maybe it's the funny guy, you know, the pretty girl. Maybe it's the person who has it all together, the successful one, the genius, the smart guy. But the thing is, no matter what labels have changed who you are and dictate your behavior, your labels chain you. And I think of our labels kind of as like if you've seen the old cartoons where they've got that giant metal ball and it's got a chain to it, the ball and chain thing. I think of our labels like that because they determine how far we can go without losing our label. You know, if you are the funny guy, you always have to be funny and you feel the pressure in the group to say the funny thing, or else who are you? You lose your identity if you don't conform to the label that you're given. And if I don't make the dad joke, if I don't say the dad thing, who am I? I'm just nobody. And so our labels, they change us and they chain us. They hold us down. They give us power and authority. Maybe like your title at work gives you authority to do things, but it also tells you what you can't do. Tells you how far you can't go. So ultimately, our labels aren't necessarily bad or good, but they define us. They control us. And so I want you to start thinking about, what is that for you? Were you the class clown? Were you the genius? What were you? And when did that start for you? And I have these, "Hello, my name is," these little cheesy Name tags. I didn't really want the "Hello, my name is," but that's the only one they had. Walmart letting me down again. Gosh dang it. Come on. Please help me out. So they're a bit cheesy. And when I used to come to church, I don't know if it was just our church, but we used to make up these name tags every week that said our name on them. But I want you guys not to put your real name on here. I want you to put the label that you've been given. When you look in the mirror, imagine yourself in a mirror if you're a visual person. And what do you, when you see yourself, what are you thinking? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? For me, it's stupid. I always feel kind of stupid. The other day, I was at my workplace, and I thought I locked my keys in my car because I'm paranoid about that. I did it one time. Now I'm paranoid. And so I couldn't find him, and I thought I locked him in the trunk. So I call this tow guy, and it's this guy, and he comes out. It's kind of sketch, and he's like, it's going to be $190. And I said, no way. And I was trying to get the door unlocked, and eventually he worked it down to 50, you know, with his boss. Yeah, it was that kind of situation. And so I got it unlocked for 50 bucks. My keys aren't even in there. Not even there. And so I look around, and they're in the grass, like about 10 feet from me. And when that kind of stuff happens, your label gets reinforced. I'm the stupid one. I'm the idiot. I'm the naive one. I'm the odd man out. What is that for you? What have you been defined as? What have people told you? What has your friend said about you? What has your family said about you? And what have you told yourself all your life? I'm this. I'm that. I'm extroverted. I'm introverted. I'm a procrastinator. I'm this. I'm lazy. I'm stupid. Positive or negative, I want you to go ahead and get these out. They should be under your seats. Get these out and just go ahead and write down on it a label. Maybe it's two, maybe it's three. Go ahead and write it down. I'm going to put dad on mine. Stupid. I also like to think of myself as funny, so it might be positive. I feel like I'm leading some weird self-help seminar. And if you want to, if your clothes allow it, go ahead and put that on yourself. Go ahead and label yourself up. It kind of, I can still feel it. It weighs on you. Our labels are burdens. They're chains. And we're going to talk about a guy today named Gideon who was labeled. He had labeled himself. He had told himself over and over, this is what I am. This is who I am. I'm this coward. I'm this weak guy. I'm not a leader. And God comes onto the scene and says, I don't care what you've told yourself about. I know who you really are. And so I want you to think of the story of Gideon that I'm going to read here. And I'm going to paraphrase it because it's like two chapters long. It's super interesting. Go home and read it. But I don't have time to read through it all today. So I'm just going to read in Judges verses 11 and 16 of chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, you want to flip there, it'll be on the screen. I use the screen now. I'm lazy. I'm just like, all right, it's on the screen. I'll get it later. So I'm just going to go ahead and read that. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which is just a tree, which belonged to Joash, the Abizurite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide from the Midianites. Now, a little background here, something to set the scene here. The Midianites have been oppressing Israel. Every time that Israel plants crops, the Midianites come in and take them. And so Gideon is doing a very defiant thing in beating out this wheat, but he's still hiding. He comes onto the scene as kind of a weak guy, a coward, not a leader. He's not boldly doing this. He's just doing this to get by. And you know, I think that's where God meets us sometimes. When we're down, when we're just trying to get by, when we're just trying to survive. And God sees something in Gideon that Gideon doesn't see in himself. God sees how he's defying the Midianites by beating out this wheat. He's doing something brave, but Gideon doesn't see that in himself. He only sees a coward. And we'll see that as we read through here. And so this is what the Lord says to him. And says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now, I think that at this point, Gideon is like, now, did I take my meds today? Like, am I having a psychotic breakdown? What is going on? So I think the Lord had to say it probably twice. Like, hero, champion, warrior, hello, how you doing? What's going on? The Lord probably had to say it a couple times for Gideon to get it. And Gideon turns around, ignores his comment because Gideon doesn't see himself as a mighty man. This victor, this champion, this strong man, he doesn't see himself as that. And we'll see that as he defines himself later on. But he says this to God. He says, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now that the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And I love the sarcasm between these two right here. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? And I think that that's how God talks to us. He says, I'm the one who sends you. I have the authority to send you. You don't need any other reasoning. You don't need to look at your qualifications. If I say that you are mighty, you are mighty. And you should go and do what I say because I'm God and you're not. But this is a message for me too. Like, I'm speaking to myself. I need to hear this because I often think of myself as the stupid one, as the irrelevant one. And sometimes God says, no, you stop. That's not how I define you. And as this story unfolds, Gideon wrestles with that. He says, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest or the poorest in Manasseh, which was a region, and I am the least or the smallest or the weakest in my father's house. And this is what the Lord's qualification. He says, but I'll be with you. And the Lord loves to do that. He loves to throw that in there. I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. I'll be with you. And a lot of times that's not enough for me. What the Lord is saying to Gideon is he's like, you are a warrior. You're a leader. Go in this might of yours. But Gideon's saying, I don't even work out. I don't even lift, bro. Listen, I haven't been to the army. I don't have any resources. I don't have the family stuff. He starts bringing up all these excuses. He says, God, look, this is my label. I'm not a leader. I'm a coward. I can't do it. And a lot of times that's what we do. When God asks us to do something, we pull up our label and we say, God, I'm not that. God, you don't know me. And when God breaks into our life, just like when he broke into Gideon's life, that's what we're defined as. We are already labeled. We come to God already labeled. And God has to work with us to get us to see past that. But we use that as an excuse, don't we? For me, I'm a hard worker, and that's how I define myself. And sometimes God's like, rest, man, take it easy. Like, take a load off. You're not the savior of the world. You're not the savior of yourself. Take it easy. Take a day of rest. And I say, no, God, I'm a hard worker. Have you seen my label? I gotta be able to do it. I gotta take care of myself. I gotta work it all out. I gotta do all these things during the summer instead of resting. And I fight with God because I use my label as an excuse, as a trump card to try to beat the authority of God. And it doesn't quite work like that. It doesn't. And maybe for you, God's asking you to lead a class or to start a life group or to start something new. And you say, God, I'm not smart enough. I haven't had any training. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not educated. I'm not this. I'm not that. Doesn't matter. Gideon wasn't trained. Gideon wasn't educated. Literally every person that God ever uses in Scripture is not qualified. Moses, the same thing happens to him. Go read the story of Moses. Moses, God says, you're going to lead Israel. He says, I have a stuttering problem. I can't do this. And God says, that doesn't matter. I'll make a way for you. I'll be with you. You're a leader because I say you are. And maybe for you, it's No. I can't relate to that group of people because I'm irrelevant or I'm not smart enough or I can't do that. Or I can't believe what these people say about me, that I'm beautiful, that I'm interesting, that I'm cool, because I've defined myself as everything but that in my life. I can't work hard because I'm a procrastinator. I can't meet people because I'm an introvert. I can't slow down because I'm an extrovert. And God is saying to us repeatedly, God comes into our lives and calls us to be different, to cause us to be something else. And we say, nope. You don't know my label. But here's the thing. God was with you way before you got your label. And David points this out. He says that God knits us together in our mother's womb. Before you were even known by your mother, before that, before you got a name, before you got a label, God saw you. And so as the maker and the creator of the invention of life, God gets to define you. Not your family, not your friends, not your siblings, not yourself. You don't get to call yourself anything. God is the one. I used this stupid analogy in first service. This is like a music stand. I can call it a hooby dooby. Doesn't matter. The inventor calls it a music stand. So that's what it is. It doesn't matter what I call it. And it doesn't matter what you say about yourself or what you've reinforced or the label that you've been chained to. God came to set us free. Amen? And he broke every chain and he broke all of our labels off. So I want you to just go ahead and take those off because it don't matter anymore.
That's right.
So whatever you've been called, whether it's been abusive or traumatic or positive or ego boosting, whatever your label has been, you start off at zero. Isaiah talks about how God is the leveler. He makes everyone equal and even, and we are all one and united in Christ. Nobody is better than anybody because of education or class or social scene, whether we're poor or rich or smart or stupid. Everyone is equal because we are all one in Christ. And when Christ died, he leveled the playing field. He ripped open the curtain and God and man were united again. And here in the story of Gideon, we see that God. We see that God who is our true labeler, our true maker. And if we would just get that, maybe we could experience some victory in our life. Maybe we could start to see what God has us to do. And it's not going to be easy. And I know what you're thinking. This sounds like some self-help mumbo jumbo. Like if I just stand in the mirror and say, I'm smart, I'm successful, I'm beautiful. And you just speak it over yourself, you'll become it. That's not what we're talking about here. Do we have a picture of Stuart Smalley? This isn't Stuart Smalley. Like, I'm smart, I'm beautiful, I'm doggone it, people like me. That isn't that. You don't get to define yourself. This isn't God asking you to dream about what you want to be and just like sit down and just go, what do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? But it is a childlike thing because we have to say, we have to let go of all the things that we previously thought about ourselves so God can give us a new name. And so in the story of Gideon, let's see what happens. Let's tune in back into the movie. When Gideon comes onto the scene, he's not coming in. There's a song on 103.9 called The Man by the Killers. It goes, I'm the man with plan. That's not the song that Gideon comes out to. Gideon comes out to Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm just a poor boy. It's long. It's drawn out. It's tragic. You're just like, okay, what's all going on here? That's Gideon's life. It's chaotic. It's crazy. And there's nothing really positive about it. But God says, I made you a warrior. And so Gideon, eventually, he keeps testing God with this blanket. Go ahead and read about that. I'm not going to explain all that. He keeps testing God with this blanket. And eventually, he realizes that it is God and that God wants him to do that. And I do that, too. I fight God on things. One time, God asked me in a worship service to dance for him. And I said, nope. Mm-mm. That's not me. I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. And I would come up with excuses like I don't need. And it's funny because Kristen just talked about this experience that she had. And I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. Oopsies. Thanks, dog. Because I've had a similar experience where God has forced me out of my comfort zone and says, you're going to dance for me. And I'm like, God, I don't really have to because I sing along and that's my worship. But I eventually had to dance because God told me, and it was the most freeing thing. And I really believe that God has something like that for you in mind. But let's tune back in. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. Let's tune back into Gideon here. So Gideon realizes it's God. He amasses this huge army, like 33,000 people, and he thinks, cool, maybe this is going to work out. And God says, nope, your army's too big. They're going to think that they did it on their own and that I didn't help them, so cut it in half. And so Gideon goes, all right, so they cut it in half. And eventually, God makes them cut it in half until there's 300 men. Usually the mic, you can do the bump, bump, bump thing. So bump, bump, bump. 300 men to defeat an army of Midian. So he's probably freaking out because he's like, I've never lifted a sword in my life. I can't defeat them. So God uses a dream to confirm in Gideon this courage and to see a warrior in a coward. And so God tells him to go through camp and just listen. And he comes across these two men who are talking about a dream the one man had. And in the dream, the man explains that he saw a tent camp, a bunch of tents, and then, now this is weird, a cake of barley falls over and knocks over the tent camp. And the guy interprets it as the Lord is giving the Midianites into Gideon's hand. And I don't know, I've never really seen a cake of barley, but I'm fairly certain they're not violent or threatening or a symbol of power. Like when you see a cake of barley, you're not like, yes, barley, strength, determination. I think in that dream, he was reminding Gideon that you're this cake of barley. You don't really matter, but I'm going to use you in a way that does matter. And that's God's message to us. We're not really anything. We're not really that great. Fine, sure. But through him, we can become a masterpiece, a child of God, an athlete, a soldier, a farmer, a warrior. We can become something through him. And so Gideon, in the most unconventional way, God tells them, he defeats the Midianites through pottery, which is another interesting thing. He tells them to take all of these pots and surround the Midianite camp with torches at night and smash the pots and yell and shake their torches. And the Midianites, believing that they are surrounded, God confuses them and they kill each other off. And Israel is saved from the hand of Midian through a nobody, a coward named Gideon. God saw that defiance when he was threshing that wheat and saw a warrior in Gideon. So if God can find a warrior in a coward, imagine what he sees in you. Imagine what he sees in you. And again, this isn't some self-help BS, man. This isn't something where you can just sit there and just, I want to be popular. I want to be successful. I want to do this. This is something where you're probably not going to like it. You're going to have to dance. You're going to have to do something that's out of your comfort zone. I don't think Gideon was like, sweet, dude. I love this. He's probably like, man, do I really have to? Yeah. Yeah. But if we do, we can experience that victory. We can experience that life change that we're talking about, you know? We can experience this transition from our old labels to our new ones. And so that's what I want for you this week. I want you to see the God that I see. A God who doesn't look at you and see stupid or funny or successful or smart. Who doesn't see the labels or the titles that you have at work or the things that you self-identify as. God doesn't see that. He sees you as a child of his. And I looked up some verses that came to mind when doing this thing. And there might be other verses that you need to go to. But there's just a few verses that I'd like you to see. Maybe you need to relabel yourself. So if you would, go ahead and take these, if you can. I was going to have two name tags for you, but they didn't have enough at the store. Walmart, failing me again. Come on. Just go ahead. Scratch those out. They don't matter anymore. The labels that you've put on yourself, that other people have put on you, no matter how deep they go, no matter how many counseling sessions it takes for you to work through this, they don't matter. Mm-mm. And I want you to write maybe one of these verses on there. Do you feel distant from God? Have you felt far away? Or maybe you just feel like an adult, that your life is rigid, that you're stuck. Maybe you're chained up and you need to be set free to imagine yourself as a little kid again, as a child who can laugh and play and enjoy life with the Lord. And so John 3:1, which says, for we are children of God and that is what we are. That stuff, if you read it to yourself, and if you wake up, and I would encourage you to, if you've written down a verse on this, or write it down on something else, stick it somewhere you're going to see it. And read it to yourself in the morning, in the mirror. When you look at yourself, think, I'm a child of God. No matter what anybody else says about me, no matter what I say about myself, I'm a child of God. That's what I am. Maybe you thought of yourself as a mistake and you were told that you were a mistake. That you're too messed up. That you're too whatever. You're not good enough. That you're irrelevant. Maybe Ephesians 2:10, which Chris talked about, you know, a couple weeks ago, that we are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good things. not created to do stupid things or irrelevant things or things that don't matter, created to do good things. That you're a masterpiece and a craftsmanship and that God's working on you and he's not done, but you're his. First, before you're anything else, you are God's. And it doesn't matter what your label says, that doesn't matter because the authority of God far outweighs your label. Maybe you got a pride issue like me. Maybe you think that once you do something for God, you deserve something back. And you just need to have a Luke 17:10 in your life, which talks about these servants who, once they're done with their duty, just say, we're just unworthy servants. We just did what we were called to do. Maybe you need to see yourself as that. If you've got a pride complex. Maybe God's calling you to do a new work, to start something new. And maybe you need to sell yourself as an athlete because God's asking you to become a disciple of his, to read the word, to pray, to practice spiritual disciplines, to get in a life group. And you need to start training to become that sort of person. And you need to see yourself as an athlete. So 2 Timothy 2:3-6 might help you with that. So write that scripture down. Put it in by your mirror. Say it to yourself. A soldier. Maybe it's life's tough right now and you just need to soldier on through. And that's the kind of encouragement you need. Maybe it's a farmer. Maybe God's saying, I have things in you that I want to share with other people. I have this growth in you that I want other people to see and I want other people to experience. So you need to become a life group leader. You need to start doing this. You need to start leading that. You need to start becoming a part of this. So you need to write down that verse and speak it over yourself. And again, this isn't self-help. This isn't just, I'm just going to become it. This is realizing who you are in Christ. And I hope Lynn Kratzer doesn't mind me speaking about this, but I'm living with them. They're so gracious in allowing me to do that. But she identifies herself as a Titus 2 woman, which means that she has certain roles and responsibilities to other people. And one day I was walking through the house and she said, listen, dinner's in 30 minutes. You're going to go outside. You're going to get a drink. You're not going to leave there and you're going to rest. And I'm a Titus 2 woman. And I can tell you what to do. You live in my house. And I said, okay. And I went and did it. You see, it's not some kind of self-help thing where she just suddenly becomes a Titus 2 woman that's great and perfect and everything else. It's something to where that God has revealed that to her when she was young, when she was about 30 or so, she was saying, and that has certain roles and responsibilities, and it changes the way that she operates in life. And I believe that some of these verses, some of these things are what God's calling you to do. God's calling you to take on a new label, to throw off the old one, because you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And you need to start seeing yourself like that. You need to stop whining and complaining and saying, I can't, God, I can't, I can't, I can't. And realize that through all things, in everything, no matter what, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And our labels do not matter. So as we close and as our prayer team comes up, if this is spoken to you, I encourage you to pray with them. They're fantastic. They do this thing where some of them have a picture for you, which helps you identify maybe something in your life where you need to change. And that's helped me. But I want you to think right now, this last 2 minutes we got here, what is it? What was your old identity? And what's your new one? What's the new label that God has placed on your life? What's God asking you to step into? Maybe you think you're a coward, but God sees a warrior in you. What is God seeing in you? What's it going to take for you to take that step into that new identity? Is it becoming a leader? Is it changing how you live your life? What does that entail? Is it changing how you think about yourself? Are you not allowed to call yourself stupid anymore? Because that's not what you are. You have the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ, the scripture says. You're not stupid. What is that for you? And so as we close, as I pray that you would just place that in your mind, whatever God is telling you that you need to start believing about yourself. And that as you walk from this place, you'd understand what that means in your life. Lord, I thank you so much that you are a God who dreams big and who uses the smallest and the weakest to do the mightiest of things. I thank you that you are not a God who has to operate within the world's parameters or even within the parameters that we place on you. But if we would just allow you to move in our life, we might experience not the kind of victory that we want, but the kind of victory that you have for us. Will you go with us, Lord? Because that's all we need, as the story talks about. All we need, we don't need qualifications. We don't need specifications. We just need you to be with us. So will you please be with us? Will you give us your peace? Will you help those who still are shaking their head after this, man? Will you lead us and guide us tomorrow and until you return? In your mighty name, that we become mighty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.